The sermon that I'm going to give today is The Believer's Love to the Lord. And I'm going to take the text from Psalm 31:23. And it says here, O love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Here King David, the author of this psalm, shows his most deep love for his God. And he is inviting us, the believers, to have the same. If the believers will not love the Lord, who will? The saved family of God is the church, and only the church can love the Lord. First, I want to show you the love of God to the believer in scriptures, not to the unbelievers, but to the believers who are redeemed. To the unbelievers, God have a general love, but to the believer, he has his intimate love. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37 says, And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Here we see God chose a seed, God chose a nation, and God chose Israel out of all the other nations of the world, and God loved that nation. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 24 says, And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And here we see again that God chose a nation, and out of that nation came some believers who loved the Lord, and also David, King David, who loved the Lord, yet he fell from the Lord. He committed adultery, he committed murder, and yet when he repented before God, and God forgave him, and still God loved him. And that really shows how we are. We have been sinners, we have been unfaithful to God, we have been totally sinful, we have been living in wickedness, in darkness, and when God redeemed us and brought us from darkness to the light of Christ, there is forgiveness and God loves us. In 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 9 says, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Also in the New Testament we see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here, whosoever believeth is a Christian, is a believer. And here, God so loved the world, not only God loved the believing Jews, but the world here, God talking to Nicodemus, are the Christians who are in the Gentile world. So in the Gentile nations, God so loved not only the Jewish believing Christians, but also the Gentiles. And in John chapter 17 verse 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. And they are thine. Here again we see the difference, separation from the world and Christians here. He's not praying for the world. So he's praying for those that are given to him. And we know Romans chapter 9 verse 13 says, As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I hated. And here we see a separation again. There's an intimate love for the believers. John 11:5 says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John 15:9 says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. He's talking to the believers. Ephesians 2:4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And God loved the believers, that's the church that he loves. In Ephesians 5:25 says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." And go on and on and on. There are so many scriptures to show that God's love for the believer. In 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein in love, now that we, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." We didn't love God in the beginning. We were haters of God. We were enmity with God. And we were not running after God because of our carnal nature. There's nothing good in us to love God. But it is God who loved us. And God the Father demands your love if you're a Christian. And He deserves the warmest affection of your hearts. He has chosen you from before the foundation of the world. He redeemed you with His precious Son. He has taken you into His family by divine adoption. Jesus said the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:37, "Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." It is He who with His precious blood has ransomed our souls and delivered us from going to hell. And how the Lord with His mighty arm delivered us from us going to hell, and He saved us. That is salvation. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, a warning scripture that says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." If any man doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be a divine curse. A divine curse is to be separated from God forever and ever, to be in darkness, to be in hell. Now, we know our Lord Jesus Christ, He is our mediator, through whom we pray, and He is our intercessor who prays for us. He is our head, He is our husband, He is our king. The world has no love for the Lord. The world doesn't see the beauty of God and therefore does not love Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, love your God. The world have set up other gods and other idols. And past week we saw how the world glorified Michael Jackson. Many adore the idols of this world, and we saw how he was glorified and magnified. And of course we know that the world will glorify other idols of Hollywood, movie stars, sports stars, and they glorify them. But remember what Luther said, "I will rather fall with Christ than to stand with Caesar." It's absolutely true. You know, we need to stand with Christ no matter what happens, not with others. We should not go according to the pattern of this world. We need to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember John 1:10, it says here, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." And there are so many people who say they are Christians, you know, but the world does not know Him. In John 14:17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him not. But you know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you." The world does not have the Holy Spirit in them. So the world does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know. That's what the scriptures say. In John 15:19 says, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you." Here we see a separation, the world and the believer. And Jesus says, if you are of the world would love you, because you will do the worldly things, you will do the carnal things, you will do what the world loves you to do. But you are not of the world. You have been chosen by Christ to be out of the world, to serve Him, to love Him. That is, Christ and the world doesn't go together. They are in opposition. Now, do the angels love Him? Yes, the angels love him. But angels can never taste the true deep love as they were not washed in the blood of Christ. They cannot cry with a passionate love. Only we can sing from the bottom of our hearts, "Worthy is the Lamb, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God." He was slain for us. Angels cannot sing how Christ died for them and ransomed them. Angels can adore Christ, but they cannot love Christ as how we love him. Because he is our brother. He is the bone of our bone and the flesh of our flesh. He took not a nature of an angel, but took the seed of Abraham. He is our brother. He is our kinsman. He is our next in blood. Now, why do we love him? It is because the Father loves him that we love him. Oh no, we were blind sinners. We did not know even the Father. So how can we love him? Is it because the angels love him? Oh no, we didn't know even the angels sing adore and praises to our Lord. We didn't know that. But the answer is 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. It says, "We love him because he first loved us." We love him because he first loved us. Come then, love him, my brothers, sisters, O beloved, because he first loved you. Now, there was nothing in you for him to love you in the very beginning. There's nothing in you that you were not. It's not because you were smart that he loved you. Not because you were intelligent that he loved you. It's not because you were very pretty, brilliant, handsome than the others that he loved you. Absolutely, there was nothing in you for him to see and say, "I like this person because he's much better educated and smart, intelligent, or holy." Nothing like that. Why he loved you is mind-boggling because of his own sovereign grace. He elected us. Although he is the king of the universe, he was born in a manger so he can relate to our poor, wretched condition. He fulfilled all of the law that you have violated because he loves you. His sweat dropped like blood in the garden. He said, "Not my will," because he loved you. He was mocked. He was spit upon by unholy men. He was whipped and his flesh was torn apart. And he went through all that because he loved you. My beloved brothers and sisters, do you see his hands and his feet pierced? He was stripped, naked, exposed publicly while hanging on the cross with severe agony and severe pain. He was tormented and didn't you hear his cry when he said, "I thirst"? Did you hear when he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, this is his love for you. He could die, but he could not cease to love you. He could be buried in the grave, but his love could not be buried. It must live. It must exist. Let me ask you, who has ever loved you like this? Oh, brothers and sisters, how he loved you. He received you into his arms. Not because you are nice and holy and smart and intelligent and religious. No, he loved you before the foundation of the world. He bled for you. He gave his whole life for you. What will you give to him? Let me tell you, what you can give to him is obedience. Many love someone because they are good looking, handsome, pretty. Some love others because they are nice, they have a nice voice, they sing beautifully. Some love others because they are so talented in games. There are others who love others because they are so excellent in character, in a sense they are brilliant, you know. But many heroes, you know, but my friend, who can compare to the matchless character of Christ Jesus? Because Jesus In Jesus, there's perfection. Now, if you love Christ, you will have fellowship with Him. If you love Him not, then you will not have fellowship with Him. It is because you do not know Him. So if you love Him not, that means you don't know Him. You may have a very good knowledge of Him. You have heard of Him. But if you don't know Him, how can you love Him? Have you heard of your wife? And because you have heard of your wife, you love her? Or do you have a knowledge of your wife? Is that why you love her? No. There's an intimate affection between you and your wife. So there's intimate affection between the husband and the wife and the children who live in the same house. So if you live in the same house and love your family, will you not speak to one another? Yes, my brothers and sisters, it is the same way with Christ. He is the head and we are the body. We are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are in the body of Christ. So will we not talk to Him and have fellowship with Him? Oh, now let us examine ourselves. Christ is so precious to the believer. And the believer and Christ should be like two turtle doves. Mr. Spurgeon said that the turtle dove, if the turtle dove loses his mate, you can never make the turtle dove to have another partner, another mate. Bring all the doves you will, but will not go and mate with another dove. The dove will mourn for its mate because of the dove's intense love for the mate. Let us be like the dove then. Let us cleave to the Lord with all your heart. It's true what Spurgeon said. You know what? The world will bring all the sweetness to us. But that sweetness that was sweet for us long time ago when we were carnal, now we are Christians. It's bitter for us because we have tasted the sweetness of Christ. How can we go back to the world? We need to love the Lord during trials and tribulations, and that is the real test. It will show you that you are a real Christian. That's the test. Because it's easy to love the Christ when things are going smoothly. But true, genuine love is shown in agony of hardships and trials. Then there is true joy. It says in Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." History tells us in the Book of Martyrs how the Roman Catholic Church burnt a believer named Lambert. He was burnt by a slow degree of fire, first starting with his feet and then going upwards to his body. The Roman Catholic Church tortured him for hours and hours of burning. But when the fire came to his body, yet he was joyfully singing to the Lord, saying, "None but Jesus, none but Jesus." Beloved, this is true, genuine love to the Lord. The test to see if you love the Lord truly is if you can pass it during severe hardships. Oh, how sad it is that many who go through trials and hardships, and when they go through these trials and hardship, they don't run to the Lord, but they run away from the Lord. We don't see them in the church anymore. They stop reading the Word of God because they have no genuine love to the Lord. And many will even blame God for trials and hardships. We can pray for the trials and hardships, but sometimes as gold is refined through the fire, and so does the Lord refines us through trials and hardships. As James said, James chapter 1 verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So if we have true love for the Lord, we will serve Him. If the wife truly loves her husband, will she not serve him, take care of him? If you truly love your family, will you not take care of them? It is the same with the Lord. How can we say we love the Lord and not serve Him? Service of the Lord is absolutely joyous. Have not you seen a mother sitting up night after night without any sleep, taking care of the infant baby? She is very tired, but she loves her baby. It is the same with us to the Lord. We can be tired sometimes, but yet we love to serve the Lord, which brings much joy and satisfaction. And the greatest joy is when we witness to somebody and somebody comes to know the Lord, we are the angels in heaven rejoice. And what a joy is that going to be. Spurgeon said about the two missionaries that loved the Lord so much, and they were Moravian missionaries, and they went to the West Indies. When they came upon to the land of the West Indies to preach the gospel to the blacks, they asked the people in that land what would be the condition upon which would be allowed to land. There were cruel terms, and they said they must first become slaves. Two of the missionaries became slaves. They bent their backs to the lashes as they might toil and go through severe hardships, so in order to preach the gospel. And that is amazing love to the Lord. They will undergo through, they want to be a slave, and they will go through the beatings and hardships, and they will be lashed upon on their backs. So at least they can preach the love of Christ, and that is true, genuine love. And also Spurgeon said, somewhere in Africa, there were some lepers confined. Well, of course, leprosy, we know that their limbs will rot away with the skin disease, and after that, you know, at the end, they will die. But there were two Moravian Christians who found to be there, and they knew that they could not come alive if they go to this leprosy confined place. But they wanted to preach the gospel, but once they go there, and they will be infected also from leprosy, and they will also eventually die. But they were ready and willing to serve the Lord as they wanted to give the gospel to the lepers. And they did not shy away, but they truly loved the Lord in service. What a great example of true love of the Christian and service to the Lord. You know, because where we live today, just imagine this world where we live. It's just a dream. It's here today, gone tomorrow. We are here today and we are going to die any time. Just in compared to eternity, this is just a drop in the bucket. But to service the Lord, oh, what treasures we are going to have in the kingdom of God. True love to the Lord will show our trust in the Lord. You know, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Keeping his word is trusting in him. Love will make our willing feet to move swift in obedience. There is this story where the wife and husband, the true story, the wife and the husband, they were on board in a boat. And there was this hurricane and great wind that came. She saw that her husband was cool and calm during the hurricane. But the boat was creaking, you know, and it was making noise. And it was a severe hurricane. And she was so scared. Then she asked her husband, how is it that you're not afraid at all? Then the husband, reaching a sword, put it to her breast. Then the husband asked her, wife, how is it that you're not afraid of this sharp sword? Then the wife said, but the sword is in my husband's hand. Well, said the husband, and though that wind is terrible and the hurricane is very scary, it is in my Father's hands. Oh, what a wonderful example of trusting in God. Yes, my beloved brothers and sisters, Job said, though that he will slay me, yet I will trust in him. My brothers and sisters, flee to Christ and fall at the feet of Christ and worship him, because you have been washed in his blood and robed in his righteousness. You know, and how all what he has done for you, he first loved you, and it is our duty to love him. O Lord Jesus, our heavenly lover, our sweet master, we thank you for performing and demonstrating your unconditional love for unworthy sinners like us. Jesus, Lord, we pray that you will bring the sheep who have gone astray, and may there be joy on earth and joy in heaven over one sinner repents. And if you don't know the Lord, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, read his word, fall at his feet, worship him, follow him, love him from the bottom of your heart, and let your love shine so others will see your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to love the Lord, and don't be scared of this world. May the Lord's face shine upon you.